para anya anvayat shabdavan cha pranaha ojaha saha balam. Nabasotha vikurvanad abutsparsha guno nilaha prana vayad shabdavamscha prano oja sahobalam. Nabasotha vikurvanad abutsparsha guno nilo pranavaya shabdavamscha prana oja sahobalam. Nabasotha vikurvanad abutsparsha guno nilaha pranavaya shabdavamscha prana oja sahobalam. Nabastho var krunanad abutsparsha guno nilaha pranavaya shabdavamscha pranavaja sahobalam. Nabastho ta vigurvanad abutsparsha guno nilaha pranavaya shabdavamscha pranavaja sahobalam. Nabasotha vikurvanad abutsparsha guno nilaha pranavaya shabdavamscha pranavaja sahobalam. Nabastho vikurvanad abutsvarsha guno nilaha pranavaya shabdavamscha pranavaja sahobalam. Ladies, Vaso vad kurunvana abutsparsha guno nilaha pranavaya shabdavamscha prana oja nabasaha of the sky atha thus vikurvanat being transformed abhut generated, sparsha, touch, gunaha, quality, anilaha, air, para, previous, anvayat, by succession, shabdavan, full of sound, cha, also, pranaha, life, ojaha, sense perception, saha, fat, balam, strength. Because the sky is transformed, the air is generated with the quality of touch. And by previous succession, the air is also full of sound. And the basic principle of duration of life, sense perception, mental power, and bodily strength. When the air is transformed in course of time and nature's course, fire is generated, taking shape with the sense of touch and sound. Since fire is also transformed, there is a manifestation of water, full of juice and taste. As previously It also has form and touch. It is also full of sound. And water, being transformed from all variegatedness on earth, appears odorous and has previously becomes qualitatively full of juice, touch, sound and form, respectively. Purport by Jivan Girishala Prabhupada. The whole process of creation is an act of gradual evolution and development from one element to another. Reaching up to the variegatedness of the earth, as so many trees, plants, mountains, rivers, reptiles, birds, animals, and variety of human beings. The quality of sense perception is also evolutionary. Namely, from sound, then touch, and from touch to form. Taste and odor are also generated along with gradual development of sky, air, fire, water, and earth. They are mutually the cause and effect of one another. But the original cause is the Lord Himself in plenary portion as Mahavishnu, lying the causal ocean, causal water of the Mahatattva. As such, Lord Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita as the cause of all causes. And this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8 as follows. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. The quality of sense perception are fully represented in the earth, and they are manifested in other elements to lesser extent. In the sky there is sound only, whereas in air there is sound and touch. In the fire there is sound, touch and shape, and in water there is taste also, along with other perceptions, namely sound, touch and shape. In the earth, however, there are all the above mentioned qualities with an extra development of odor also. Therefore, on the earth there is a full display of variegatedness of life, which is originally started with the basic principle of air. Diseases of the body take place due to derangement of air within the earthly body of the living beings. Mental diseases result from special derangement from the air within the body, and as such, yogic exercise is especially beneficial to keep the air in order so that diseases of the body become almost nil by such practices. When they are properly done, the duration of life also increases, and one can have control over death also by such practices. A perfect yogi can have command over death and quit a body at the right moment, when he is competent to transfer himself to a suitable planet. The bhakti yogi, however, surpasses all the yogis because, by dint of his devotional service, is promoted to the region beyond the material sky and is placed in one of the planets in the spiritual sky by the supreme will of the Lord, the controller of everything. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishdam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾ ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಸೊ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ನಂಬರ್ 5 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 30 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ ದ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಕಾಸಸ್ The first and second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam are especially important. The whole scripture, of course, is Purna. Like the human body needs stability. To stand, we need our two feet. And only when we are stable can we think properly, eat properly, work properly. But if you're in an unstable state, instead of a proper brain, everything else, we will not be able to do that properly. So feet are very important for stability. And they are foundational to the stability of our body. Similarly, the first and second canto are the feet of the Lord. And therefore, Shuddha Goswami has, Maharishi Vyas, has so expertly, before going into the third canto where the leelas start, more or less, Kapila Muni and all these leelas start, the first and canto he has given a foundational stability to the Bhagavad student so that he understands the future cantos which are to arrive and appear a little later on with a sense of complete conviction about the Lord's original position. It is impossible to understand Bhagavatam. Maybe I should not say impossible, but very difficult. Because Prabhupada's purports are there. If there are no purports, it would be impossible. But because Prabhupada's purports are there, it makes it easy. Nonetheless, it is advisable for all students of Bhagavatam to start from the... Similarly, when we take darshan of the Lord, we are advised not to see the Lord's beautiful face first. We are advised to see and put our glance first on the Lord's feet first. Is Pada Padma, right? Is Pada Padma, lotus feet must be seen first with devotion, and then you gradually raise your vision upwards. Similarly here, this chapter is so very important for us. Because these are what they call as existential questions. Every intelligent human being, I'm sure all of us also, at some point in our time, especially not now, but during childhood and adolescence, we go through this very, well, a little funny, but at the same time, very curious mindset where we start questioning, what is all this around me? And what is the purpose of all this? Is there life on other planets? What is the source of all life? Why am I here? What is the goal of my life? These questions, in some shape or the other, will always cross the human mind. Where do they come from? They are prompted by the Paramatma. Whether you are an American or African, wherever you are, these questions will certainly cross most people's mind at some time in their life. Or it may be situational where something happens in your life and you start questioning deeper aspects and deeper truths of your life. Who prompts them? They are not cortical in nature. They are not from the cerebral cortex. They are coming from the super soul in the heart. Because the Lord wants to take advantage of any situation, whatever it is, to prompt you, think deeper. go higher, right? Ask questions which are more truth-revealing than just the here and now of your food and your shelter and your job and your this and that and your studies. These are, you know, mundane, ordinary activities. There is more to life than just that. Imagine the chapter itself, and when I think about the chapter itself, I mean, which book will have a chapter called as The Cause of All Causes? Profound. There are supposed to be in the scientific world, there are 10 questions for which they have no answers. There are some profound questions which are within the precincts of the scientific world, which they have absolutely no answers. Right? There are many like that. But of them, the important question is, where does all this come from? Where does all this come from? And when you see so much of matter around you, that question is very bewildering. See, earlier we had just a small, so-called, you know, the previous man, a few centuries ago, he had a little bit of small handy telescope because he was traveling by ship. So, you know, traveling by ship, you want to see, you know, whether there are icebergs or not, you know, which can hit you. You want to see where the lighthouse is and how far the land is. So you could see a few kilometers into the distance. But now, with the gigantic, in Texas and other places, there are huge telescopes. Huge means literally they are as big as this room, practically. Huge telescopes, right, which can make you see, you know, several galaxies. And the question is, obvious question is, where does all this come from? Right? The origin of all this. It is a natural question for any person to ask. Right? So, of course, Srila Prabhupada, which we can also see in this light as a spiritual scientist, said very simply, they will never find out. they will never find out what is all this coming from. Why? Because even if you use a telescope and the best technology or the AI to analyze the data which comes from there, ultimately it has to go through your eyes and to your brains to be analyzed. Correct? You have to analyze it. And the AI is there, but you have to analyze it. You have to understand what data is being given by the AI. So you have to still depend on your eyes and on your so-called fertile brain. Correct? The human element cannot be eliminated, even with the AI. Correct? So, Prabhupada still said that we are actually so tiny that this question cannot be understood by the ascending process of knowledge. Unless every scientist, you see, when we see this like that, Prabhupada is so beautiful. When he explains this fourth chapter of Gita, he says, Tad vidhi prani patena pari prashtena. First quality to gain knowledge, essential quality of a student is pranipat. Submissive humility. So unless all scientific brains of the world adopt submissive humility within their heart, they can never have knowledge. What does submissive humility mean? That we are very, 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 very tiny. And Prabhupada says we are like the frog in the well. For the frog in the well, what is the size of a frog? Well, my mind is right now going to my anatomy hall. When I used to cut frogs. So the frog is maybe this big. In winter, they become, in monsoon, they become bigger, right? They become about 6 inches, 12 inches, big frogs. In anatomy hall, they used to have big frogs. But what is the size of frog? Okay. And what is the size of the well he is living in? So many times bigger than the frog. And then what is the comparison of that well size? Now, we all have seen wells. Most of the wells are maybe, what, 10 meters in diameter? 20 meters in diameter? Correct? At the most. Now, what is the ratio between a 20-meter well and the Atlantic Ocean? Can anyone even compute that? How much 10 raised to whatever, right? That small frog in that sized well in the ratio to the Atlantic Ocean. That is what we are. That is our actual reality. So we are the small frog in this earth planet. Earth planet is like the well. Earth planet is like the well. So we can understand what the well. We have a radius. We can calculate the radius, perimeter of the earth. But the earth itself is like a small well in this gigantic, huge creation which you see through the telescopes. Right? And therefore, to understand where all this comes from, the difficulty which a frog will have to understand the size of the Atlantic Ocean is the same difficulty we will have to understand the universe. Exactly the same difficulty. No difference. Right? Therefore, in all humility, when a scientist accepts that this is not possible by this methodology, the quest for knowledge is respected, revered, and honored. The methodology is condemned. Methodology of Aroha Pantha is condemned. But the methodology of learning science through the descending process is glorified as the supreme process of gaining knowledge among all Vedic literatures. Every Vedic literature is based on this. So if Veda is knowledge, if Veda is knowledge, then we should know immediately what the process of getting that knowledge. And the process of Vedic knowledge is always descending process. So if Vedas are authority, see, Vedas are called as mother, Veda Mata, right? So if Veda is Mata, then the Mata teaches you how to get the knowledge also. So this whole chapter of Cause of All Causes, which we are reading today, second canto, is questions by Narad Rishi to Brahma. Now, how intelligent is Narad Rishi himself? But he is not speculating. He doesn't have a telescope in his hand to see the world. Even he can travel, he can go here and there and he can find out himself. You see, for Narad Muni, we have to take a, Chandrayaan or something like that to go here and there. But he can actually go wherever he wants to go and find out what's happening where. But he just goes with folded hands, says, Papa, his father is... His Narad Muni is his papa, his father. He said, my dear father, it is very bewildering. Looks like you are in control. Looks like you are creating. Looks like you are in the source of all life. But I see you meditate. Looks like you are worshipping somebody also. So who is your shelter? And where are you getting your knowledge from? Right? So what Narad Muni is seeing is a pot maker. Narad Muni is seeing a pot maker. He sees there is a pot maker. He sees there is a small wheel which is moving. And he sees the mud which is being used. He sees three things. The pot maker, the wheel, and the mud. Right? And it is easy to say, oh, he made the pot. Wait a minute, this is the mud he has used. Right? But the moment you ask this question, who made the wheel? Who made the mud? Who made the pot maker? Then you are stumped. Correct? So Narada is looking at the pot maker and he sees Brahma is creating, but he's saying, are you also created? Right? So then we are looking at the maker of the pot maker, the maker of the wheel, and the maker of the mud. That is the meaning of understanding the cause of all causes. And only when you understand that, then you understand exactly who has given intelligence to the pot maker to make such a beautiful pot. And what is the excellent wheel which has given such shape to the pot. Only then you can understand. So we are interested not so much in the pot maker, interested in the maker of the pot. there is a difference between modern science and us. The modern science, which is not condemned, but we understand its limitations, because we are also thoroughly scientific people, can tell us about the source of life as perceived. All life on the planet comes from one source, as we see it, as we can understand it. It comes from one source, and that is the sun. The sun is the completely accepted, acknowledged, recognized, and endorsed source of all life in the world. Right? Because when the sun shines on a plant, it creates photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is required for survival of the plant. Animals who eat the plant will get the energy from the plant, which is stored energy of the sun in the plant, and therefore they get their energy. And those who are eating animals will get their energy from that animal, which came from the plant, which came into the plant from the sun. So all life is sustained by the sun. But beyond that, we can't understand anything. That's all. The sun looks like a sourceless existence. But the source, also, sun also has a source. And for them, when we see the scripture, it tells you that the sun is like a small disc, concentrated power of the Brahma Jyoti. Remember, we used to have, some of us as children, we used to have this small little convex lenses. And you focus it, when the sun is shining, you focus it on something, on a paper, and the paper burns. How many of you did that funny thing? I spent hours doing that in vacations, you know, just do that. And shine on somebody's house, and shine on somebody's face, you know. Somebody is in their opposite building, you just shine it on his face, and then you do something else, right? And how many papers we burned because of that? That's fun. It's a simple thing, but it's great fun. The power of the sun came through that convex lens. So, that simple thing which we all did as children is the most beautiful way of understanding what the sun is. The sun otherwise is inconceivable in itself. Where does the sun get its energy from? Who can understand? There's nobody putting gas in the sun so that it goes on. Like in any sorts of, you have Koyna Dam or this one of these dams here, Hirakud Dam, you have to keep on putting a lot of coal inside or some source so that it generates electricity. Right? But where the sun is getting its source from? Imagine a plant which has only helium inside. Only helium. And hydrogen and helium. And how this hydrogen and helium can lead to so much, millions of megawatts per millisecond from just a fiery planet. It's beyond, no scientist even knows till now what makes the sun so brilliant. They don't know it. They only theories, that's all. But we know it. We can claim authority over this, because it's reading from the scripture that the sun is a convex lens. It's concentrating the light of the Brahma Jyoti and then focusing it on, like we did on somebody's face. It's focusing this Brahma Jyoti on, the sun is focusing that light on this small little planet called the Earth and the small universe. Right? So then the next thing is, where does the Brahma Jyoti come from? And when you ask that question, you have the answer, the ultimate answer. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti కోటేషు అశేష సుదాది విభూతి భిన్నం తద్ బ్రహ్మ నిష్కలం అనంతం అశేష భూతం గోవిందమాది పురుషం తమహం పచామి. Therefore, Prabhupada was a perfect spiritual scientist. And all those following his holy footsteps can also be perfect scientists. We may or may not enter into open debate with scientists, but in our heart of hearts, even the scientific-minded person can fully understand and appreciate that I am not being fooled. I can logically, rationally understand where all this comes from. It comes from the source of the Brahma Jyoti. So when Arjuna is folding his hands and saying, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adhidhyam Bhajam Bhubham. Right? You are Aja. Everything in the world is Ja. But Krishna is Aja. Right? Ja means Janma. Everything has to have Janma. Right? But Krishna is the only person who is Aja. Right? And of course, because of Krishna is Aja, in you and I also are ultimately Aja. So this, one of the most powerful statements which we have learnt in our curriculum as students of Bhakti school is the first stanza of Brahma Samhita. For us, that verse is the most versatile verse to understand the identity of Krishna. That verse is once something which we meditate upon very deeply within our hearts. We don't take it at face value because we know it by heart. That verse actually is the foundation and the basis of all our faith in Krishna consciousness. If you do not have the faith in that verse, our bhakti has no foundation. There's no foundation at all. You may do whatever number of rounds or whatever number of Nirjana Ekadashis or Yatras or whatever else. That verse is the foundation, and that Shraddha foundation of that verse is gives us the leverage in Krishna consciousness. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Yes, there are so many Ishwaras. But there is only one person called as Parameshwar. And he has a name. His name is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. So in this particular purport, Prabhupada is talking about how because of Krishna's beautiful arrangement, how from subtle elements, gradually it evolves into the more gross elements. So in this particular verse, Prabhupada is starting with ether first. Ether means Akash. Can you see Akash? No. Can you feel Akash? No. Can you smell Akash? No. But does Akash exist? Yes. Are we within Akash? Yes. Everything exists within Akash. So that element which contains all other elements is called as Akash. From Akash, what a relationship Akash with the sensory perception. It is the sensory perception of sound. Sound travels through ether. Right? So, the first process in bhakti is Shravanam. Is Shravanam. It is not seeing. The seeing element, from there will be air, which we cannot see, then there will be fire, which we can see. Right? So that comes as third. Sound in ether, then air for touch, and when you see, that is fire. Fire has got shape. Right? But the modern world pays undue stress on seeing part. Otherwise, that's the problem. Seeing is believing. Because all truth becomes seeing is believing. But you can't see thoughts. You can't see feelings. They don't exist. They exist. Right now all of you are thinking. Some things are happening in your body which you don't see. It's happening. Right? Therefore, the stress is always on. Therefore, for devotees have got not two eyes, but four eyes. Two is these gross eyes, and two are these eyes. Two in front, two on the sides. Therefore, when we sing Guru Bhajan, we say, Chakshu Dan Dilo Yai. Beautiful word. The ability to see comes from the... So, for devotees, ears are not just for hearing. For devotees, ears are for seeing. We see the whole world through our ears. That's the bhakta. It refuses to see things just based on face value, based on what the eyes can show. He always interprets, sees the world through his ears. Whatever guru teaches you, the guru and the teacher, the mentors and the scriptures teaches you, see the world in this light. Then when he sees the world, he understands. That is the process of actually living in this world. For those who don't hear from the spiritual masters and authorities, they depend on the eyes and they simply do not get any knowledge. Gross ignorance. Therefore, they don't learn anything practically. They may go through a whole life of so much of suffering and so many experiences, but they don't end up yet learning anything. So Bhagavatam says they remain like the curved tail of a dog. The dog's tail is curved. You can never make it straight. You hold it for 10 years also straight like this. 10 years. The moment you leave it, 10th year and first second, it becomes again ulta. Right? So, similarly, for those who do not hear from the spiritual masters and spiritual authorities, their perception of the world remains very crooked. Very crooked. But for devotees who hear, Narada Muni is simply hearing. Vyasadeva is hearing from Narada Muni. Sudeva Goswami is hearing from Vyasadeva. And we all are hearing from our spiritual masters. Prabhupada was glorified for this one quality. He hears. He never goes away. We know the story. Shesha Shai Vishnu Koshi. Right? So in our sampradaya, in Vedic sampradaya, the process of hearing is highly glorified. The more the devotee hears, the more clearer is his vision. He sees the world for what it is and not what it is appears to be. He sees the thing as they are. And material life is so tricky, Maya so tricky. She camouflages the world in such a way that you don't see what for what it is. She tries to hide it. But devotee sees through it. The penetrating vision of these scriptures. And therefore, from as Prabhupada explains here, from air, from ether comes air, air comes fire, fire from fire comes this water, and from water comes earth. Right? And the qualities keep on increasing. First it is just sound, then sound and touch, then sound, touch, shape, sound, touch, shape, smell, and the last, of course, is taste and then smell. Sorry, yeah. And therefore, how many organisms live in the air? Only few organisms live in the air. So how many organisms live in the earth? Millions of organisms live in the earth. Right? So as the creation becomes more and more unfolded, more and life, it can sustain more life. So earth can sustain full life because it has all the five elements fully present in it. It has odor, it has got taste, it has got shape, it has got... So lot of life is sustained by Bhumi Devi, by earth. So in that sense, we are also born from the earth in one sense, because our bodies are born from earth. Sodium, potassium, phosphorus, calcium are all from our earth, coming from earth. Right? And the plants we eat are from earth. So, the earth is able to sustain full life because it has got all the qualities in full. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also tells us how Krishna is the controller of all these elements. Therefore, when you hear pastimes of Krishna, huge whirlwind, right? What is that? The whirlwind Trinavarta is a demon who has immense control over the power of wind. Complete control over wind. It dictates at what speed the wind should move. Now, can we dictate how speed the wind? We can put the fan and say, garam, so we can go from one level to 4, 3, 4, 5. But you can't create a cyclone with that. Just go fast and all. Yeah, now I'm feeling good. But Trinavarta has got power over wind to such an extent, he can create any speed he wants. He can move this power of 100 miles per hour speed. Nobody can do that. That is Trinavarta. What? It's massive speed. And what is the, you know, that power which it creates, the whirlwind effect, right? It can uproot anything. Anything in the way it can uproot. These Katrina, Bathrina, jo hai, all these cyclones which came in America, they are already small time. All of you heard of Katrina, right? And Maharaj says, Katrina is a very beautiful name. Let's look at a nice, beautiful girl, you know, Katrina. But it's just, why do they give such nice names to cyclones which are so destructive in nature? I don't know. Right? Like millions were, you know, became homeless because of this beautiful little cyclone called as Katrina. Anyway, Trinavarta is not one of those things. Massive power. Right? It can, so uprooting anything, everything was coming in Vrindavan and went up in the sky. Krishna was lifted immediately. Krishna being, you know, knows past, present, and future. Vedam Samaditani. Bhavishanija Bhutani Mamti Vedana Kaschana. So Krishna just becomes heavy. Yasumaya says, oh, suddenly my child has become very heavy. Puts the child down. Something has happened, it becomes very heavy now. Krishna is coming, Trinavarta is coming. So he will carry me along with Yasudamaya and that'll be very good. I want to take a ride, but Yasudamaya should remain on the ground only. So he lifts Krishna and in a few seconds he's just up in the air. Right? And it is said that he actually goes so high, atmosphere, stratosphere, ionosphere, and beyond. Right? All the spheres of the atmosphere he goes beyond. And he goes to level of heavenly planets. Krishna is staying at all the planets. Haribo. He wanted to give darshan to the heavenly planet damsels and the demigods. Because he's not going to go there in this Leela. He'll be going to Samyamani to meet Yamraj. He'll be going to meet Varunadev to fetch his children of his deceased children of his Guru Maharaj. Right? He has decided to go to some planets and give his grace to demigods. But the heavenly planet was something which he was not going to go. So Trinavarta says, and demigods are looking, Krishna has come to our planet. You get the light up to there, Krishna goes. Trinavarta is so powerful, the cyclone goes up to heavenly planets. Can you imagine that cyclone? There's a supernatural cyclone. Right? And what is Krishna having? He's getting a great time. A great time. There's nothing is more funny and wonderful than Krishna. He's just a great time. Krishna has no fear. He's in complete control of the situation. Because he's a supreme controller. You take me wherever you want. Wherever and whatever height you want to take me, you take me. I'm in complete control. And when he has good enjoyment, he has a good ride, he says, now they are in big anxiety downstairs. So my heart is getting, the gravity of their love is pulling me down now. So Krishna is getting pulled downwards from the skies by the love and cries of Mother Yashoda. So then he decides that, okay, now I should end this Leela. It's enough is enough. And he says, let me go into action now. Right? Just. That's all. He just has to squeeze the neck of Trinavarta. Boom. Smashed. And Krishna is moving around as if nothing has happened. Yes. Because he doesn't want to disturb the Aishwarya Bhav. Krishna Sotun is, there are many things in this Leela. Acharya has explained what Trinada stands for. All that is already there. But in today's context, it shows Krishna's absolute power over the wind. Complete control. After Kaliya was killed, what happened? The whole day was very tiring for Krishna. And very emotionally wrenching for the gopis, the gopas, Nanda Maharaj. That seeing the traumatic experience of seeing Krishna in the coils of Kaliya was so painful a sight. It exhausts you. You get, when you go through a painful situation, you become emotionally burnt out, as they say. It's called emotional burnout. So all the Brijavasis went through an emotional burnout on that day. Seeing Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, struggling, fighting. This huge, gigantic. I mean, even when we think of Kaliya, we think of all the dioramas which are there in Pune. There's one diorama in our temple here. There's a diorama down there in Vrindavan forest. We think of, a big snake. Huge! Several multi-story skyscraper building was not enough. It's huge! That's the size of Kaliya. Right? Powerful, huge. With 101 hoods. Amazing. And when you're looking at Krishna, the small little child of 5-6 years, within the coils of this, a huge, unbelievably powerful serpent, you can imagine what happens to the parents and all the loved ones. They go through complete emotional burnout. Right? So they're so tired, exhausted, physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything, they're exhausted. They say, let's not go home now today. The Jamuna is here. Nice wind is there. Peaceful. And today we missed you so much. I had no games, nothing, kuch nahi. We are just seeing you all day. Let's just be with you only. So everyone lies down on the bank of the Yamuna on that night. They don't go home. They just want to be with Krishna because they love him so much. If they go home, that means Krishna goes to his house and they have to go to their house. Right? But in Yamuna, everyone is together. So everyone is sleeping together. Oh, Krishna is just next to me. Krishna is next to me. You get up at night, you see Krishna is still there. And then suddenly you find this huge forest fire. Again, these Bhagavatam stories appear sometimes very, and when you hear it, the forest fire. Forest fire. But, the Bhagavatam says the tongue of the fire, like tongue, fire also has tongue. The flames are like tongue. So that, like the tongue can swallow, right? Tongue is used to swallow. So the tongues of the fire, forest fire were like swallowing the sky. They were licking the sky. Imagine a fire licking the sky, licking the clouds. We can scarcely imagine such a forest fire. Huge flames all over the place, surrounding. And Krishna shows his supreme power over the element of fire. Everything is in Krishna. This is how wonderful is that. Right? Everything is outside Krishna, but also everything is. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat sarvakta muktina masya sarvana bhutani madhik. He says everything is within me, but I am not in them. Right? So, everything is within Krishna. The proof is here. The fire is outside of Krishna, apparently. Right? And he says, oh chalo, close your eyes. All gopas, close your eyes. So they think it is very, so they are already getting scorched. But whatever Krishna tells is absolute obedience. Even if they are friends of Krishna, the element of service, a servant means he is obedient, right? So when you are obedient, you don't say, why? So they close their eyes. For them it is like a fun. They always trusted Krishna because they knew that Krishna is, we can trust him. He's a trustworthy person. Whatever he says, he does it. Right? So he can deliver the goods, as they say. He closes his eyes, said, and Krishna just stands like this. And the entire huge, imagine the fire, how much of fire is there? The whole fire just engulfs and enters into Krishna's mouth, into his belly. Right? Krishna has swallowed fire. Can anybody swallow fire? Yeah, some trick makers do something. They put the fire, the cigarette in their mouth, or some matchstick in their mouth, or some fireball in the mouth, and they show something. It's like because we are small Krishnas, so we can do small tricks. But we can swallow a forest fire. Krishna's prabhutva, or the power of the fire element. Nothing can burn Krishna. There's a complete control over fire. Right? So all these beautiful stories are to be relished in various regards, in this various ways. And when we hear these stories, we know that Krishna actually is in complete, absolute control. Nothing can control Krishna. Ajita jitopi trilokyam. Right? Besides Ajita. One of the words of besides Ajita. Nothing can control him. No element can control him. We are controlled constantly by the elements. We are constantly controlled by the elements, right? At every point of time. Absolute control. That is global warming. Oh yeah. Everyone wondering, where is winter this time? You know, winter, no winter in Mumbai. Where is winter? No sweater, better question. Nobody is selling sweaters nowadays. Nobody is wearing, no scarf, no mufflers, nothing. Where is winter? We are controlled. Somebody cut us, all these millions of trees and created hell for all of us. Greenhouse effect and all that stuff is happening. The whole planet is becoming warm. Ice, the glaciers are getting melted away. The whole thing is warmed up completely. Winter has gone away practically. It is all hot, 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 hot. Therefore we need Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, who said, Jagatapaharam. Now the Lord, name of the Lord is Jagatapaharam. He destroys global warming. Which is in the heart also. The Mahadabhag is in the heart, global warming. Navalehakaram Jagatapaharam Pranamami Sachi Sutta Gauravaram. Right? So in these beautiful leelas, we are seeing Krishna's control. Of course, in Vrindavan doesn't depict his controllership. He does it in such a sweet way, nonchalant way, innocent way, completely unassuming way. That is Vrindavan. Nothing is official, nothing is formal, everything is intimate and loving. So, it is this controller of Sri Krishna. What happens in a devotee's life, he understands, yes, it is my absolute, or I'm aspiring for this understanding. What happens in my life, in the life of my loved ones, in the life of everyone, the ultimate cause is not the grahas. So the grahas are bad. Grahas may be bad. It's possible. Grahas are good. So they may be good. Right? But for a devotee, it is not grahas. For a devotee, it is Krishna has ordained this in my life. Irrespective of what my grahas may say, this or that, if this happened to me, it might be good for me. And therefore, Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram kahiye, jahe vidhi rakhe Ram. He has this conviction that Krishna is in control of my life. And he knows what is best for me. That whatever happens in my life, I accept it as the will of the Lord. So for us, this conviction of this chapter itself, that Krishna is the control of all, cause of all causes, and I simply have to accept His control of my life, and the way it unfolds, I will see what happens in my life, it will unfold in different ways, but I know that behind whatever is unfolded, it is being orchestrated by the beautiful hands of the Lord I love. Of the Lord whom I am trying to surrender my life to. And therefore being my ever well-wisher, it will be for my ultimate good. Therefore let me accept it with submission, with feeling of Sharanagati. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions?
जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।